next night, got to the hall, and no one was there. Feeling a bit despondent by this fact, got home, reached the word out. And he stood up and sang to the priest. And little did he know, after the very battle of hall, how he received his reward among the drunk. It was my famous man of being drunk, getting his promise. He sat into the hall, wondering what was going on, and sat at the very back. And this is a great evangelist and a man used by God to be led to violence many places, carried on preaching, and in vain also called him again, thinking there was nobody in the building. And that time, that man went to the court of David and Rasmus. The following time, that man brought all his friends, and so the story went on, and the violence ended up in the tower. And he was a pastor who went in the pew, or in the door, and a power in God's word is false. If I was to talk a title of the morning, I would put Who's Landed In? Who's Landed In? Who's Landed In the pot? I've got a friend who's a landlord. He buys the land and they need to build it. Now, before they buy the land, they test the land. It doesn't matter what the owner said, because some owners of land want to sell to get any return. And the return you can get depends on the quality of the land you're building. And you know that the really high power one, which is what you want to have, and you get more money on it, depends on the quality of the land. And to
because he spent time with the Father, he now could speak with authority to the disciples. Let's just go back to the start.
Do it.
And the Sermon on the Mount, which starts with a very famous sayings of Jesus called the Beatitudes. And some people say they are because the attitudes we should have, or there are the attitudes, they separate it. But it starts like this. And if you look at the, if you've got your Bible there, if you look at it, from verse 3 of chapter 5 through to verse 10, it's laid out like a psalm. It's laid out separately to the rest of it. It's laid out that in that poetical way the psalms are laid out. And that's, there's a reason for that, because it was a type of a saying Jesus was giving to it. It had a rhythm to it, it had a rhyme to it. Jesus starts off with this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very famous passage. I just want to look at this, because how his sermon is preached starts off is a significant fact on how it finishes. He finishes by saying, don't just listen, but do, and this will be the rock that you build your life on. But he starts off with this phrase: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. He's saying to them, right the way through this, build your life in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. That's where to build it. That is the rock you build your life on. He's saying here, he says blessed. Blessed here isn't just something waiting for a blessing that may or may not come at some point. Sometimes we use the word to be blessed by God in a sense, I'm waiting to be blessed. Here it doesn't mean that. It means that if you do this in the Hebrew word, it meant to be well off. If you do this, it says here, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means people who humbly trust God. They humble, they come before God humbler, and they put their 100% trust in Him. So it's saying here, if you put your 100% trust in God, you will live a life that is well blessed. You will live a life that is well blessed. You will be well off. No matter what happens around you, the kingdom of God will provide for you. You will be well off. That's the rock you build your life upon. It goes on to say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus is not saying here, stick in mourning just for people who've lost a loved one. And that's important as well. But he was saying, when you find life hard, when the hard things of life, when the wind and the waves and the floods come at your life, when life gets hard, at that point, you will find comfort in the kingdom. Because you are in the kingdom, you will be comforted. He goes on to say these words. He goes on to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? Meek means type of poor in spirit. It means, again, somebody who's humble before God. Not somebody who's proud and arrogant and thinks, I can handle this situation, I'm alright. It means somebody who's coming before God humbly and saying, every day of my life I'm just going to serve you. I'm going to walk in your ways. I'm going to honour you. I'm just going to walk as a son or daughter of the King in that kingdom. It says there, the meek, they shall inherit the earth. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because sometimes we look around the world and we see tyrants. We see people who oppress people. We see other things happening in the world. We think, where's God in this? But God's looking for those in His kingdom not just to hear that they need to take action and pray and sometimes fulfill their God-given calling on their lives, but they need to do it. It's quite interesting, when God's people back off, it leaves a gap for somebody to come in. And wherever we go in life, we need the people who inherit the earth. You remember, and I'll go into this a little bit later on, Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were given governance over the earth, weren't they? They were told to rule in the earth, to honour God and rule in the earth. And for the people of God, we need to fulfil our God-given calling. So when we go, God calls us to do what we need to do. And we need to support each other as we're called to do things. We will inherit the earth. We will have spiritual impact upon the earth. We called, in Jesus in other places, calls us to pray for the earth, to pray for people, to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in the earth. And in doing that, we do have impact. But when we back off from doing that, we let other things come in. Goes on to say here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right living, right relationship with God. Ask a question. He's telling them here, those who hunger and thirst. It's a test for ourselves, isn't it? I don't mean a test to a pass or fail. It's like to check on how hungry, how thirsty am I after the righteousness of God in my life? Or how much am I just making do at this point? He's saying here, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who cultivate a passion in their life. If you're hungry and thirsty, have a passion for something. Somebody who's hungry and thirsty for food definitely has a passion to find a chippy open that night or wherever they're going, don't they? They're hungry and thirsty, they want it. That's this passion, seriously. Are we wanting the things of God? Are we wanting that righteousness? That's what he's teaching here, these people. He's not saying just wait and it will come to you at some point. He's saying to get out there and get it. Make a commitment, you know, hunger and thirst, strive for it. Don't just wait and expect it to land in your lap at some point. Don't just wait and expect somebody else to bring it to you. You know, we live in a service culture, don't we, where we like things to be done for us or to be done very quickly. And sometimes being passionate and striving for something is sometimes something we're not as good at as others. He goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but when I do something wrong or I do something that's not up to standard, am I glad that somebody's merciful to me and doesn't give it to me with full barrels, as we say. If I'm wanting that of God, I need to do that to other people. I need to show grace and mercy. Any church, and a church isn't a physical building, we call physical buildings churches, don't we? It's a group of Christians who gather together. Any church, any group of Christians who gather together, that should be, in any place, the greatest place of mercy and grace. Where forgiveness abounds, where grace abounds. It doesn't matter what your background is, you're welcome people. It never matters what you've done, you're welcome here. If we want mercy, we need to be people who show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Interesting, isn't it? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's not talking about they'll eventually get to heaven and see God. No, here on earth, they will see God. Now, I'm not saying they'll live to see physical God. They will know God's presence so close in their life. It will be the most natural thing when they wake up in the morning and say, morning God, and to walk with you all the days of their lives. They will walk in that presence of God. What Jesus is saying is possible. To some of us, and some of us at times we go through hard times, this seems impossible. But what Jesus said is possible. he goes on to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's interesting, isn't it, in the world where we get asked to intervene. You look at the in South Africa, when they had the commission into the injustice of apartheid, one of the main people they asked to head it up was Bishop Desmond Tutu. Why? Because he was a man of God. He was, in that country, he was a genuine peacemaker. You look at people, lives, people like Billy Graham, who's gone in for the last 50 years with every president in the United States and prayed with him. Why? Because he walked as a peacemaker. He didn't walk valuing one side greater than the other. He walked bringing both sides together. And remember what peace is here. Because sometimes in human terminology, peace means a lack of conflict. That's not what peace is in God's eyes. Peace is in God's eyes that we are right with Him. And if I'm right with Him and you're right with Him, we should be right with each other. So a peacemaker is somebody who walks into a situation and brings God into the centre of that situation and draws people to Him. And the Jewish phrase is shalom. You go to Israel, apparently they say shalom, shalom to him. And this is what Christ is saying here. I want you to be the bringers of peace into situations. When you bring peace, you will have peace yourself. And you will see peacemakers, you'll be called the sons of God. Why? Because God is the ultimate peacemaker. Then he goes on to say, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what people do to you. What matters is this. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. There's a book written called The Heavenly Man. Some of you may have read it. Chinese man, Brother Yun, I think it was, who in China got persecuted by the Chinese. It didn't matter. It didn't matter, he was beaten. In human terms, yes, it does. But in his eyes, beat me. So what? Put me in prison. So what? You can't take Jesus away from me. You can't take me out of his presence. No one has the physical capability to take you out of the presence of God. No matter what they do to you. And as they persecuted him, he went further into the presence of God. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, when you think about it, that people do all things to you, but they can't take you out of the presence of God. That's your decision. It's his decision, Richard Wurmbrand is saying, other people who have things like this done to them, to sit in the prison cell in solitary confinement and say, actually, there's no such thing for me in solitary confinement. Why? Because I'm here with God. And all the times I wanted to spend a bit more time with God, now I'm getting the chance. And it's that attitude. These are the attitudes it goes on to say about the kingdom of God being here. And just to prove, this isn't just talking about when we get to heaven, the kingdom of God. In chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 17, it says this. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm ushering in the kingdom of heaven. I'm bringing back to earth. When I die on the cross, the victory that will be won, isn't that just you can have your sins forgiven? You get your sins forgiven so that you can be in the kingdom of heaven. So that you can be in the kingdom of God. He came to usher in that time. Just another thing on this amazing sermon Jesus preached. When you look through something, in my book it's got some titles. Jesus forbids oath. Go the second mile. Marriage is sacred and binding. Love your enemies. Do good to please God. These are the way this sermon broke down. Then it goes on to the model prayer. What does he say about the kingdom in the model prayer, which we know as the Lord's Prayer? He says this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You grab hold of those beatitudes. You grab hold of this. You grab hold of the story at the end. And it's saying, where's your house built? And he's saying here, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, I can affect things. Actually, I make a conscious decision. Do I do the things that Christ preaches, or do I just like being around others who like it? But if I do the things Christ preaches, I will see his kingdom come on earth like it is in heaven. I'll be one of those people who change the spiritual, the emotional, the physical environment of where I am to be more like heaven. Quite amazing that when you think about it. That is a potential each of us have. To go into our family life, to go into our workplace if we work, to go into the shops, to sit on the bus. I was on talking to a man the other day who's become himself and became a Christian after having a very bad drug problem, being inside and selling drugs, being all sorts of bad stuff. And he said, Dave, he said, I sat on the bus one day and somebody sat next to me and I wanted what he had. He only sat next to me for two stops. Amazing, isn't it? This guy sat next to me for two stops. He's totally messed up his life. The drugs are making him see all sorts of things he doesn't enjoy seeing. He's been inside, he's got in loads of trouble, and one man sits next to him and he's carrying the kingdom. And remember who we are in the kingdom. We are the son or daughter of the king. Remember who you are. I like the story of the prodigal son when he comes back and the father gives him three things. And he doesn't just give them the three things because they're nice things to give. He gives them because there's significance to them. He gives them a ring. And the ring is a ring of authority. So wherever the son goes, he carries that ring and he can put a seal, and it means that's the father that's given me permission to make that happen. I can tell you this is going to happen because I have the authority of the father. And this will happen. So he has authority. So everywhere he walks with that ring on. And that ring says, I have authority to speak things out. And he also has this amazing role that only the son of the king could ever wear. Or the son of the big farmer in the case of the son of the king. It was a role he dressed. He was dressed as one who had position and with the ring of authority. And each of us, when we're in the kingdom, we have authority, God-given authority. We walk in God-given position. Then he put the shoes on, the sandals on. And apparently the sandals, if you wore sandals, it signified, this type of sandal, that you were a free person, you weren't a slave. So in other words, his past was forgiven. He wasn't a slave to his past. That was done away with. He now walks as a free man in his father's plan, in his father's kingdom. And that's how we live. It doesn't matter what we've done in the past. It matters that we've confessed our sins and we've forgiven. You know, Jesus, when he talks to Nicodemus, he used the phrase we often use nowadays, he says, be born again. When you're born again, remember, you're born into something. It's not the end of a journey, it's the start of a journey. When a baby is born, it's the start of an amazing life. Well, when we were old, well, wasn't it? The start of an amazing life. And it's not the end, it's the start. And the other thing we often use is Jesus, when Jesus in Revelation says, I stand at the door and knock. Remember, Jesus wasn't standing at the door and knocking to non-Christians, he was standing at the door and knocking to churches. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone in my house opens the door, I will come in. Come in as who? Come in as the king of the kingdom who brings that authority. And this is what a lot of the Sermon on the Mount was saying. It was getting across this idea of king, this idea of kingdom, this idea of a way of life that the kingdom has and the king demands of us. Remember John the Baptist said an amazing thing. I was reading it a couple of weeks ago and it really stuck in my mind. John the Baptist said this, I come to baptize with water. Now to baptize with water means your forgiveness of sins, doesn't it? That's what John the Baptist did. I baptize you, you're still forgiven. So the one who's coming is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I don't know about you, but the thought of being washed and having sins forgiven, but then being baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, means that I'm carrying the very presence of God within me. Where I go, He goes. When I'm baptized, and it's like a constant filling, when I'm baptized, wherever I'm going, He's going. And I'm going in fire. And fire purifies, doesn't it? Fire is used as a work of purification. Where I go, I'm purified. Where I go, I take that fire. And that Holy Spirit goes with me. The very presence of God goes with me. I think that's amazing when you think about it. Think of some of the places we go. Some of the situations we find ourselves in at times. I think that wherever I go, that's how I'm going. There was a man called, one of my favourites, a man called Billy Bray. And I say this lots of, forgive me for this, I've obviously said it before. But I love Billy Bray because he walks down the road. One foot says praise the Lord, one foot says hallelujah. And he wore the big old clog type things that miners in Cornwall wore a couple of hundred years ago. So they went clonk, clonk, clonk as he went down the cobbles. He went, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And wherever he was introduced to people, I'm Billy Bray, I'm the son of the king. And to us it's a bit bizarre, I won't say that, I'm a bit embarrassing. But he changed Cornwall. Can you imagine it? One miner gets saved in a county and affects the whole county. 200 years on, he can still buy his book on eBay. That is the appeal. He never would have heard of it. The internet to him would have made money 200 years ago. But people are buying and selling his book still now. Because why? Because he was one having authority in the kingdom of God. His rock, his life was built on, was what Jesus had done, bringing him into the kingdom, and that was his rock. It didn't matter what went on around him, how big the wind was, how big the waves were that smacked his family, smacked into his life. It mattered that he went in that kingdom, on that rock. Excuse me. You know, let's turn back for the last few moments to the parable itself. It says this. This is the last part of this amazing sermon. Whoever has ears for these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Not about you, there might be a lady, so we can put a wise lady there. I'd love to be known as a wise man. I'd love to be wise. Make wise decisions, make great decisions. I will liken him to a wise man who builds a house on the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Life will throw many things at you. Notice, as we go on, now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Compare these two. Here's somebody who hears. It's not talking about somebody who's never heard about the things of God. It's not about people who hear them, but does not do them. Makes a choice. Still builds a house. Still builds a life. But makes a choice. And if you were to walk past these two houses before the rains came, on the face of it, you would not see a difference. You wouldn't see a difference. It would look great. You'd go in it, but wow, this is a nice house, isn't it? But it's when the trouble came, when the waves came, when the wind came, when the rain came. I think there's another story there, that's the waves. When the wind came, when the rain came, and it was torrential, the floods rose up and hit the house. Then the truth of the foundations was shown to all. And it says here, in 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Great was its fall. Why was the fall great? Because the person who had that house assumed his house was as good, or if not better, than that other house there. He thought then people worried too much about things. They weren't really worrying, but in his eyes they were getting themselves right with God. He thought all those people on there were too finicky, too fussy. But actually, they were doing the things he thought. He thought they were this, he thought they were that, but he thought he was safe. He thought he was as secure as they were. But then the wind and the rain came, and he found out actually he had been on every morning sand. And sand shifts into him. Sand shifts. And he was actually stood on nothing at all. The sand shifted and he went. What I want you just to bring to our attention this morning is there's a responsibility with our faith that we do things. The responsibility that we honour what God has given us. It says here, just reading a little passage just before the parable, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, this is talking about when they get to heaven, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So important. They used the phrase there, Lord. Lord is very... not mentioned that many times in Matthew. And using that in that point is an emphasis of the point that they would say, we really did make you Lord of our lives. And Jesus is looking and saying, where? Where did you ever make me Lord of your life? Where did you ever really come under that authority? Where did you ever really follow that through? You just pretended you did. You had a foot in both camps. You had a foot in the world and a foot in my camp. But actually, you thought you did, but you never did. You just had both feet in the world. But you can't have a foot in both. You're either a for me or you are against me. Quite sobering, I think, because sometimes people do. They think, I can just cope with this much in the world and I'll balance it over. I'll just do enough good things and I'll be alright. And I'm shocked. And I think for me, just at the end of it, just to tie the last bits together here, it's just to say that phrase we started off with. Whose land are you building? Whose land is it anyway that you're building your life on? And very simplistically we said, yes, I prayed a prayer and commitment. That's great. No need to do that. But don't stop there. Don't just stop at praying a prayer and commitment. Remember what Jesus said, whoever hears my words and does them. Let's be doers of the things of God. Let's be those people in the Beatitudes who it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed be people who walk in that kingdom day by day, who live out those Beatitudes, whose feet are on the rock, and what we build is on the rock. And when the troubles come, it's not going to be nice, but our feet won't move. Our hope is steadfast and certain, and we will persevere and carry on. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you that when Jesus came, he didn't just come so we could have forgiveness of sins and eventually one day be in heaven with you. He came so that the kingdom of heaven may be within us and around us this very day. Father God, I just pray this morning for each of us here. We know what it really means to be a son or daughter of the King. to walk all the days of our lives in that authority, in that position, as free people with sins forgiven in you, without that condemnation of our sin of others. Father, we thank you for our freedom we have in you. And we just pray, Father God, that we won't be just be hearers of the word. We pray as well, Father God, that we would be hearers of the word, and we'd search out, and we'd study your word, and we'd listen to people who really help us understand your word more and more. But we wouldn't just listen, but we would be doers of your word. Day by day, that we will bring a blessing into many people's lives, into many situations. May we be those peacemakers. May we be those people who show mercy day after day, in the name of Jesus.